giving us the truth. Please let the words coming out of my mouth today be your words and not my own. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm gonna be in John 7 today. But it's funny, everything I keep hearing is just everything I read and everything I hear, it's teaching me to be strong for God and to open up my mouth, to do things that are uncomfortable. I've said this in the past, this country, the problem with this country is it's built around comfort. You know, it wasn't originally. I mean, the people that came here originally so that they could worship God the way they wanted to, but their life wasn't easy. They had to hack it out of the wilderness. You know, I mean, many of them died, but they came here so that they could worship God the way they knew God wanted to be worshiped and that they didn't have anybody looking over them. And too often, we'll trade comfort for what God wants. And I've done that. I do that. Still do that. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to, you know, go home every day to an air-conditioned house and everything. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, you know, if God wants you to be somewhere or do something, you have to be, God has to be your number one, not comfort, not, you know, all this earthly stuff. And that's tough because, I mean, our culture is grown, our culture is a way that that seems foreign to us. You know, the American dream is to have, you know, a house and a car and 2.5 kids. I think it's 1.5 kids now. I don't know, you can have half a kid, but anyway. but that's, that's a lie because that's greed. You know, that's all, there's nothing wrong with that. I guess you need to, it all points back to, where is your priority? You know, who is your number one? I've taught in the past about, you know, there's talks about the rich man and the poor man, but really it talks about the man, the poor man knows he has nothing and can do nothing and needs God. God is it. God is all that's left. Whereas the rich man, you know, he's smart and he's wealthy and he can do things on his own. He doesn't quite need God because he can still, you know, he can make problems go away with his money or his connections. So it's harder for a rich man to realize he needs God. And so there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with eating good foods and everything. You just got to realize that God is number one and that stuff is just secondary. And so when you realize that, then you can enjoy all that. I posted something on Facebook this week, and I don't know if any of you got it, but it was talking about why have we decided that the pleasures of the devil are better than the pleasures of God? God created everything in this world, and a lot of it's great. The problem is we've perverted it, and we've said, and so we go, well, this must be true pleasure, so I'm going to run away from God because God doesn't have true pleasure. It's like, golly, you are missing the point. God has created everything. Food, I'm like, food is wonderful as long as food is not your God. It tastes good. It's fun to eat with friends. It's great. So as long as food is not your God, that it's a pleasure that God created for us to enjoy. There's no young people in here. I said to somebody one time, man and woman, they come together. God created that. It's good. The world will pollute that. The devil takes what God does and he pollutes that. He makes it disgusting. And so then people think, well, that's not good. You can't, when men and women come together, there's something wrong with that. But no, God created that. It's good. We just have to realize that God is first. But he still wants, he created all the wonderful things in this world for us to enjoy, and they're just a taste of what is to come. And the devil has tricked us into believing that he is what makes good things and God is boring. So that's where I'm at right now. So we have to change our picture. Ian sent me a little video of a guy, I always get kind of put off by people who are like, here's my message and it's great, and then at the end they're like, buy my book. I'm like, you totally just ruined it all for me. If you have a book, great, but don't end it with buy my book. Just put it in your little thing at the bottom, and if I see that, great. But it was, he was talking about we need to do mighty things for Christ. We need to be willing to be warriors for Christ, to do things that don't seem whatever. Because the thing is God has already prepared the way. He's already, if it's him, then all the doors will open, regardless of what happens to us, regardless of how we're beat up. That's actually going to be the title of my sermon. Sorry, Zoe, I didn't tell you the title of my sermon. Joy in adversity. I mean, that's hard to have joy. I mean, like I was saying, God is teaching me that when things seem to be going wrong, that is God teaching me to just rejoice when things are going wrong, because he's already got it taken care of. He's already in control, so no big deal, and it's going to work out to bless me. That's the cool thing. Adversity always blesses you. You just can't see it yet because you're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of the storm. You can't see how it's going to be a blessing, and you get through it and you go, oh, that was a blessing. You know, I can think of so many things. It's like where, as you're going through it, like that, my dad got me in contact with a fellow years ago, and I've talked about that. There's this huge job, and it scared me to death, and I lost 30 pounds, and I worried for months. But that job, which didn't really bless me financially, I was fine. But that was my outcome was I wanted to be blessed financially from that job. It didn't. I learned to trust God no matter what from that job, because it was killing me. I was scared to death. I was going to lose $150,000 if I screwed it all up, and everything was going wrong. And I had to die to myself, and it all went right in the end. And I was just, you know, and you go, why didn't I just trust God? And God uses those kind of things to show you, just trust me. Just trust me. And before I got to the end, I said, okay, God, if everything falls apart and I lose everything and I'm destitute for the rest of my life, I trust you. And if everything goes right and it goes great, I trust you. And that was it. That was when it was broken. The devil couldn't hold me anymore. Because if everything falls apart and you still love God, which is what God wants, God just says, you know, if everything falls apart, are you going to love me? Yeah. It's good, because then it doesn't matter. Then you can go through anything with God. God wants you by him. You know, Jesus, you're going to be beside Jesus, ruling and reigning with him. I had this thought the other day. I was like, if everything in heaven is perfect, then why do we need to rule and reign with him? This could be perfect. So I assume there's probably going to be something to do. I don't know. So it's going to be fun. We have no idea what heaven's going to be like. We know there's not going to be any sickness, so we won't need any doctors. Sorry, Monty. You'll be out of a job. God is the judge, so we won't need any lawyers. Again, sorry, Monty. Those are earthly things. They're good. They're good things to have here on earth. Men to give us wisdom on many accounts. But we're in heaven. That God's going to do that job for us. It's awesome. God is incredible. He wants to share all of himself with us. And I'm just going to start reading because I don't know where I'm going yet. God's been just breaking things in my life, just tearing things out, and it's been good. It's been so good. And it wasn't even like it was awful. I mean, I gave God permission to do it. Like, God, please do. Please do. Because I want everything gone out of my life that's holding me back from being 100% with you. Everything. And that's, you know, that's hard for a human being because we are built to survive. And I'm asking God to kill me. And so that's opposite of the way our mind works. So, John chapter 7. And after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, and he did not desire to walk in Judea, because the Jews were lusting to kill him. So even, you know, Jesus didn't want to die. It wasn't time. And the Jewish feast of Tabernacles was near. Then his brothers said to him, move away from here and go to Judea. Just what he said he didn't want to do. Go to Judea. So that your disciples will also see your works, which you do. For no one does anything in secret and himself seeks to be in public. So he hadn't done any totally public miracles. He had done some, but they were still private. If you do these things, reveal yourself to the world. For his brothers did not believe into him. And Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet here, but your time is always ready." So it's like, how could your own not believe you? And it's true. It's funny. It's because they know you. It's like, wait, I grew up with you. There's no way you can be, you know, the Messiah. I saw you with pimples and you burped and, you know, you went to the bathroom like everybody else. How are you God? You know, because we don't know, you know, our ways are not God's ways. But God had to come to earth. Jesus had to come to earth to be a man because no one was perfect. And so he had to be like us. He had to do our things. He had to do us, you know, us things so that he could be perfect and then go and die and his blood could be perfect. But they didn't understand that. They're like, "You're just like us. How can you be God? There's no way. There's nothing special about you. We know who you are." And that's in our own life. We have to be careful not to be so closed-minded. You know, when someone brings someone in your life and you think, "Ah, that person annoys me," or "awful," or "I know that person." You know, I mean, how could that person be any good? It's like, well, first of all, I have no idea what God's doing in that person's life. I don't know how God has changed that person. If you can be changed, how could they not be changed? So, you know, you have to talk to the Holy Spirit. Should I be listening to this person that annoys the heck out of me? I don't know if you guys have any people in your life like that. You're like, "Oh, not that person. That, please don't. Why are they calling me? I don't want to talk to them." It's none of you guys, I promise. Most of you guys don't call me. Feel free. I love to talk about God. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I am witness about it that its works are evil. I mean, no. The funny thing is once you get past that, I mean, nobody wants to be evil. Nobody, you know, you think, I'm a pretty good person. And I, and growing up in the church, you kind of think that. You're like, "Well, I haven't really done anything really bad. I didn't go out and do drugs. I didn't have, you know, I didn't have sex till I got married. You know, so I'm a pretty good person." But I'm still just as evil as the guy that did. And the problem is we can't see that. Because it's your heart. You know, Jesus said one tiny little sin makes you as guilty as the person that sinned the most in our eyes, not his eyes. So it's like you do one sin and you're done. That's it. Don't get into heaven. Because the Bible says no sin to get into heaven. There's two ways to get into heaven. Don't sin or go through Jesus who didn't sin. And nobody can do the first one except for Jesus. So when we get pointed out that we're evil, and you know, in the past I would try to deflect it or say I didn't do it, but now I realize, oh, I'm just gonna, like the Bible says, just go and say, "You're right, I did it, sorry, please forgive me." Just give up quick, just do it, just die. I mean, that's one thing that bugs me about politicians is they will just to the death not admit that they did wrong. It's like, I have no respect for you because you won't admit that you did wrong. If you said, "Yeah, I did wrong, I was evil," I'd go, "Okay, I forgive you. Now please do a good job now." But they just will to the death, "No, we didn't do it." And it's so funny because I see things happen and I'm like, they're going to come up with 1,000 excuses why it's not their fault. But that's normal. We don't want to be at fault. So when Jesus came and he said, "You're evil," immediately you go, first of all, the evil people said, "Well, we don't care. We're just going to be evil." And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the righteous people were like, "Well, no, we're following God. We're not evil." They can't see it. They didn't see it. And it's important to know you're evil because then you can know you need God and then you can be forgiven and then you can have a relationship with God. And you realize that the evil is not even important because Jesus died on the cross and the evil is gone. I mean, all the evil that you've done, not important. He already covered it. every person that lives on the face of the earth, Jesus died for them, and their sins are covered. Whether or not they accept it or not is another thing, but their sins are covered. So any person that has ever lived or will ever live, their sins are covered. They just have to accept the gift. That's the crazy thing, is people think, well, you know, you get people say, well, I've done too much evil for God to love me, or I can't come to church because I do bad. It's like, it's already been covered. It's already been covered. That's not an excuse. Come enjoy God. He's amazing. Stop worrying about your sins. That's already been, God already took that excuse away. He died on the cross. You go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet been fulfilled. And saying these things to them, he remained in Galilee. I was talking about that with Ian the other day, about timing. It's fun because God will give you a word and immediately you want to go share it. Oh, God gave me a word. But you need to ask God, am I supposed to share this word yet? Because that's important. Because Jesus said, my time, you know, Jesus could have gone up to Galilee, but he said, it's not my time. It's not time yet. So we always have to go. When God will give you a revelation of what you need to do. You know, he's given me a revelation of this church being full. This church is not full. Because it's not time yet. He's got to grow me up. He's got to get you guys ready. And this church will be full. And we will minister to people. And they will be set free. And they will be on fire for Jesus. And it will be awesome. And they'll all get to know God for who he really is. Not the fake church that's out there that this guy was talking about. Just loving everybody in their sin. God loves sinners. Hates the sin. But again, the sin is not the deal. We should be bold because God is in us. I said that a few weeks ago. God and the living God is in us. This mortal, disgusting, falling apart body that's going to decay and be, you know, dead one day. He's in us. We don't even understand the power that is in us. And it's not us because we can do nothing. It's him. And it's incredible. But when his brothers went up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as in secret. Then the Jews sought him in the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring about him in the crowds. Some said, he is a good one. But others said, no, he deceives the crowds. However, no one spoke publicly about him because of the fear of the Jews. I mean, that's so fun. I mean, that's being destroyed right now in this country. In this country, people are trying to shut down people that speak the truth. And they were afraid to speak the truth because of the religious people. The religious people, they knew if you said the wrong thing about God, they were going to do whatever they could to get you. How is that even a thing? If you have God in you, if you know who God is, you should love people, period. And you don't persecute them because they have a wrong belief. You love them and share with them. You know, I mean, you can see obviously they didn't have God. I mean, they believed in God, but the law was more important to them than God, because they're like, you're disobeying the law. You're saying this. You're claiming that you're the Messiah. And first of all, they weren't open-minded enough to think maybe this guy is the Messiah. First of all, he answered all the, like we did at Christmas time, he answered all the prophecies. Did you ask him where he was from? Whether it's, you know, he fulfilled all the prophecies. So obviously no one has come before that or after that that's done that. I know they've chosen a few people. They're like, well, this guy may be the Messiah. There's a young fellow in Israel right now that could be the Messiah. We know he's not. First of all, he's from the wrong house. He's got to be that house of David. He's not. So, like, obviously, that rules him out immediately. How can you still think he's it? You know, it's like, fear of the Jews. So it's like, we fear religious people, and what's interesting is I never understand, like, so people who hate believers or people who hate conservatives. I don't understand why they get that. And then I meet people who say they believe like me do, and I meet them, and I go, yeah, I'd hate them too. Because they're religious, or they're, you know, conservative people that beat people over the head, and they're just, we're supposed to be loving, and we're supposed to be mindful and listen to God and lift people up. It doesn't mean we accept the way they believe, but you're never going to, I mean, I think it's in the Bible. It says you catch more flies with honey. Maybe that's not in the Bible. Is that in the Bible? No. That's true. You catch more flies with honey. Norman taught me that one day. Thank you, Norman. Years ago, I called him up. Hey, Norman, I need this and so. And he said, David. I said, yeah. He said, when you pick up the phone and you call somebody, you ask them how they're doing first. I said, it's the right thing to do. I said, okay. You catch more flies with honey. You know, if you're berating people and telling them how they're going to go to hell and blah, 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 they don't need to know about hell. They already know they're evil. They need to know about the love of Jesus. Jesus loves you just the way they are. Come to him. He will fix all your problems. You don't have to worry about your problems. He said, the good work I began in you, which means the day you got saved, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete it. That means he's going to take care of all the problems you got in your life. You just come to him and have a relationship. It's cool. When you have a relationship with somebody and you fall in love with them, and you fall in love with them, deeply in love with them, the things that you did that bug them, you don't do them anymore because you're so in love with that person that they just go, yeah, you're like, well, I don't need to do that anymore because I love you and I know that that hurts you, so I'm just going to stop doing that. And we as humans, that's not accurate because we're selfish. But when we start to, you know, little by little, those things do fall away. There's things that I try not to do that I know bother Mary, or things like, through our past, it was funny, things like, we can't have the cell phones in the room because they could go off in the bedroom at night. And I know that bothers her, so I don't bring my cell phone in the room. We don't have a TV. I think that's great. Don't have a TV in your bedroom because you're going to watch TV, and it should be just not, you know, it's a distraction. I'm not saying do that. If you have one in your bedroom, so be it. But when you fall in love with somebody, and you truly fall in love with somebody, not infatuation, but fall in love with them, things, just the things you do just fall away. Just because you're in love with them. And they're what's important to you, not your own gratification. But the feast being now half over, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this one know letters, not being taught? And Jesus answered and said to them, my teaching is not mine, but of the one who sent me. And if anyone desires, so I mean, that's just it. When you go out, you can prepare all you want, but then it's just you. Or you can go out and let God open your mouth and talk. And it's going to be a lot better than what your brilliant brain comes up with. Because we can say a lot of dumb things, and it may be helpful. I mean, if you're just speaking scripture, it's not going to hurt. But if God wants to say something specifically to a person and you're just talking scripture and God was like, well, I need you to say this weird, dumb thing that sounds odd. And you say it and they're like, it's just what God's been talking to me about and you just confirmed it and it made no sense to you. So you have to be bold to stand out and to say, to let God make a, you know, be a fool for God. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know concerning the teaching whether it is of God or if I speak from myself. For the one speaking from himself seeks his own glory. Isn't that interesting? I was thinking about that the other night. God, Jesus is the only God who came down to earth to die for his people. Every other God makes you do stuff. You got to do this to get into heaven. And Jesus came down and said, I'll do this so you can get into heaven. Every other religion requires you to do stuff. Every religion requires you to do stuff to get into heaven. Jesus said the only thing you had to do is just take my free gift. No other God did that. I mean, they're all fake anyways, but I'm just saying. Because they're all man-made. That's man. Man always has an agenda. I want glory. That was my biggest thing in life. I never wanted to be proud. So there's a lot of things I didn't do because I didn't want to be proud that I was good at it. That's stupid. That's from the devil. The devil is saying, don't be proud. And then he says, what you're doing is you're taking the gift and you're hiding it in the sand so that when Jesus comes back, you go, I still have my gift, Jesus. Jesus is like, why didn't you use it? I gave it to you to use. And you're like, oh, I was afraid I'd be proud. He's like, I gave it to you to use for my glory. Don't hide your gifts. Use them. God gave them to you on purpose so that you could use them. And then when people go, man, that's awesome, you go, Father in heaven, he gave me that gift. It's him. It's nothing, hath nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. I can do nothing without him. And then they'll ponder about that, and you'll see how happy you are. You're like, it's so weird. I was talking about this on Wednesday night. Just periodic. I mean, just lately, I've just been going around. I've just been happy. People are like, why are you so happy? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm just full of joy. I mean, just full of it. It just comes out of me, and I'm just smiling. And it's like, nothing good has happened. Actually, things have been hard and tough, and I'm just happy. It's like, because that's God in me. God fills me full of joy. I'm in him. He's in me. It's exciting. Are you guys that way? Good. You should be. You should expect that. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know concerning the teaching whether it is of God or if I speak for myself. For the one speaking of himself seeks his own glory, but the one seeking the glory of the one who sent him. This one is true. So it's like, he's like, it's not for me. I want you to know him. I don't need the glory. I want you to know my Father. This one is true, and unrighteousness is not in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And not one of you does the law. Whoa. That's their whole thing. They do the law. That would totally tick them off. Not one of you does the law. And it's like, that's their whole deal. We do the law. Why do you seek to kill me? Well, exactly. You just told them they don't do the law. The crowd answered and said, you have a demon who seeks to kill you. Jesus answered and said unto them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Because of this, Moses has given you circumcision, and not that it is of Moses, but of the fathers. On the Sabbath, you could circumcise a man. A man received circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses is not broken, and you are angry with me because I made a man entirely sound on the Sabbath. Do not judge according to the sight, but judge according to judge righteous judgment. So it's like they didn't know God enough. They knew about God, but they didn't know God. Because if you know God, you'd understand his heart. And they were more interested in keeping God's law. They're so afraid of God, they're just like, we just need to keep his law so we can get to wherever we need to get to. It's like, no, you're missing the point. God wants a relationship. I mean, the whole Old Testament, which they had, is about relationship. God is like, hey, I love you. I want you to love me. And they're like, we love you. And then they fall away. And then God's like, okay, do your own thing. And they're like, oh, God, we messed up. And he's like, good, I'm still here. He never went anywhere. He's still there. He said, I love you. I'm going to let you do your own thing. He gave us all free will to do our own thing, to mess up our lives as much as we want. But he wants us to just fall in love with him. But he's not going to force it. He's not going to force us to fall in love with him. He's just going to... He loves us. That's how much he loves us. You don't force someone to love you if it's for real. That's God said, you know, I'm going to let you choose me or not choose me, but I'm not going to force you to choose me. That's not love. That's servitude. Then some of the Jerusalemites said, I've never seen that word before. Jerusalemites from Jerusalem. Said, is this not the one that they are seeking to kill? And behold, he speaks publicly, and they said nothing to him. Perhaps the rulers truly knew that this is indeed the Christ. It had to be kind of going through their head. Some. I mean, I would assume they had more doubt, but I mean, you kind of have that little fear, you know, is this guy saying something to God, or is he blaspheming? Because, I mean, if he is God and you try to kill him, it's like, oops. But we know this one and where he is. But when the Christ comes, no one knows from when he is. So they were confused. They're like, well, he came from Nazareth. We know who this guy is. This is Jesus. But people, they didn't know. I always wonder. I mean, like, I guess Mary and Joseph and a few people kept the secret. I mean, how do you tell that? You know, Jesus came to Mary and, I mean, God came to Mary and then Jesus was born. I mean, how do you tell it? This is the Messiah. I mean, you can't. No. First of all, nobody would believe you because you are a carpenter's wife in a tiny little town that's of no consequence. And so nobody would believe you. But they're like, yeah, we know who you are. That's why, I mean, Jesus said that at the beginning of the chapter. His brother said, go to Judea. And he's like, they're not going to believe who I am. You don't even believe I am, and you know me. Then teaching, Jesus cried out in the temple, even saying, you both know me, and you know me, and you know where I am, and I have not come from myself, but he sending me is true. Whom you do not know. So he's saying, you know me because I've been around. But you don't know me because you don't know the one who sent me. And if you knew the one who sent me, you'd know who I am. You would see it in me. You'd see that I'm here from God. You'd see that I'm the Son of God. But you don't know God because you're more interested in the law. You're more interested in whatever it is that you're interested in. And you don't know who God is. Then teaching, Jesus cried out in the temple. Did I do all that? Where did I finish? You guys know? You guys reading along? You guys aren't reading along. Sorry. okay. Then teaching, Jesus cried out in the temple, even saying, no, I did read all that. But I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. Sorry, I was on verse 29. And they sought to seize him, yet no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. So again, remember I said, you know, when God has a plan for you. I always think that one day I'm going to stand in front of somebody really powerful and they're like, I'm going to destroy you. And I'm like, only if God allows it. Only if it's God's timing. Only if it's God's will. I have all the power in the world in me. God is in me. And I can do whatever God needs me to do and you can't stop me. I think that would be fun. The look on that guy's face, that would be awesome. That's the kind of, that's what you should have in you, knowing that when God has a plan and a design for you, nothing can stop you from doing it. Nothing. Not money, not man, not power, not police, not governments, not the devil. Nothing can stop you from doing it. You can't fear the world. The devil will try to put that fear on you. Oh, I got to be quiet because what if somebody gets angry and then they come after me or come after my family? It's like God has already made provision for that. If God tells you to do something, he has provided for everything that needs to be provided for. But many in the crowd believed him and said, the Christ, when he comes, will he do more miracles than these which this one did? And the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things about him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers that they might seize him. And Jesus said to them, yet a little while I am with you, and I go to him who sent me, and you will seek me and will not find me. And where I am, you are not able to come. And then the Jews said amongst themselves, where is this one about to go that we will not find him? Is he about to go to the dispersion of the Greeks? He just said, You don't know the Father. You definitely don't know me. And then he's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about going to heaven. And they're like, is he going to sneak off to Greece? And, you know, it's like, what is the word which he said? You will seek me and will not find me. And where I am, you are not able to come. Obviously, they could go to Greece. You get on a boat or a camel and you go over there. So he was not talking about Greece. It's like, it should be obvious. And in that last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And the one believing in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Not a trickle. Rivers of living water. But he said this concerning the Spirit, whom the ones believing in him were about to receive. Do we have that? In us? Do we have the Spirit in us? We have that Spirit in us. It's awesome. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then hearing the word, many of the crowd said, "This is truly the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." And others said, "No, for does the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David, from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" Don't they know? Didn't they ask him, "Hey, where are you from? Where were you born?" He was born in Bethlehem. And what's his lineage? He was the lineage of David. They should have known. They didn't ask. Therefore, a division occurred in the crowd because of him. And some of them desired to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. And then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" And the officers answered, "Never did a man so speak as does this man." Why? He spoke with authority. It's funny. I'll hear people on the internet, and they'll say, "I believe." It's like, no, I know. Jesus spoke with authority. People don't speak with authority because they're afraid of hurting people's feelings, or they're not really sure about what they're saying. When you speak for God, you speak with authority. God gives you a word, you say it with authority. It's coming from the living God. He's in you. Then the Pharisees answered them, "Have you not also been deceived?" So were they there? They weren't there. They didn't hear him speak. They had been there. It's hard. I mean, he would have gotten through their hard hearts, but I mean, any word from God can get through a hardened heart. Not any from the rulers or from the Pharisees believed into him. But not knowing the law, this crowd is cursed. Nicodemus said to them, "The one coming by night," Nicodemus said to them, "the one coming by night," so they're telling you who he was, "being one of themselves, does our law judge the man unless it hear from him first?" So Nicodemus was already thinking about it. He's like, man, he knew in his head, I went in secret and talked to this guy. And he was like, yeah, we can't. This is hearsay. You know, these people are saying it, but we need to. He was doubting. He was doubting his upbringing. This could be God. This guy could be God. So he was kind of softening it. Hey, we need to go hear from him first, which is true. If anybody, in reality, in the world we live, and this is reality, but in the world we live in, never take someone else's word for something somebody says. That's so dangerous. You have to get both sides of the story, because somebody could say something and then you hate that other person, and then it was all wrong because it was coming from somebody's wrong picture of what was really going on. So, practical point of the Bible. Always go get firsthand knowledge. Don't assume you know. Does our law judge a man unless it hears from him first and know what he does? And they answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search the scripture and see that a prophet has not been raised out of Galilee." And they each one went to his house. All right, I'm going to end there. It's awesome. The Bible is alive today. I mean, it's good. It's so much fun when you read it. You get to see all the emotion and all the things that are going on in people's heads and see. And the thing is we got to realize that we're probably the guys that didn't, you know, we could easily be the guys that didn't believe. We have the word. We have the entire word of God, and we've been told the truth. We could easily become Pharisees. How easy it is to make another thing a god. But when you know the real God, you can't, because you realize that, you know, you can't. If you make this your God, I'm not saying the word, but if you make just memorizing this your God, then you're missing the point. You know the words, but you don't understand what they mean. But when you fall in love with God, just memorizing it, you want to go deeper. You want to understand more. It's fun. Every time you read it, you get something different. I can read a passage and then read it again the next year, and I get something different because I've learned more. God has shown me more. I understand more of who God is in me. And you get new things, new revelations. I don't like that kind of stuff because that's kind of creepy to me or weird. Or it's like people are like, you got to read between the lines. And you're like, yeah, but I think it's real. You know, God will say something practical and spiritual at the same time. You know, one of the commandments is, you know, children, obey your parents, you know, and you'll have long life. And people, and I think it's, you obey your parents because your parents have already lived and they know what's gone on and they know all the dumb things they did, and they're going to be, I know that with Gabby. I don't want her to do the dumb things that I did. I want to teach her not to do the dumb things. And you'll live longer if you don't do the dumb things that I did. I'm still here, so I didn't do the dumbest things, but it's like God is practical and he's spiritual. So you have to see both sides of it. So, hallelujah. God is awesome. Be bold. He is in you. I don't know if we're in the end times. It certainly seems like it. But the Bible says only God knows the hour. So you can hear all sorts of weird machinations from all sorts of people. And you're like, and so you can't listen to any of that. You got to listen to God, because you could change your whole life based on some dumb thing that some guy said about, you know. I mean, there are people that believe that that Revelations is not the last. And it's just something that God said, well, this could happen if you don't seek me. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is dumb. And so some people are going to wreck their whole lives going, we could do better and we could take over the world. And then other people will go, well, everything's falling apart, so let's just let it fall apart. And then God's going to come back. That's dumb. Go seek God. Ask God what to do. Don't use your own brain. There. We don't know. We can't use our own minds, because our own minds are only have a finite amount of knowledge. If you just ask God, he'll tell you the answer. That's the coolest thing ever. God, what's wrong here? And God will say, here's the answer. And you go, thank you, because I would not have come to that conclusion. So, hallelujah. I hope you guys were blessed today. Rejoice. We're going to be persecuted for loving Jesus, and that's okay. It's awesome. I mean, I was talking to Pastor C. I don't know how many of you guys know Pastor C. And my dad did not want to be tortured for Jesus. And I said, let him come. I told Pastor G, I said, I don't know why that's in me, but I'm like, let him come, and I will worship God and tell those people till my last breath about Jesus as they're torturing me. That is not me. That's not a human thing. That's God in me, because I know God loves me. I know God will take care of me. I could be like Stephen and not feel a thing. I could feel everything, and it'd be awful. It may never happen to me, but it might. But it's like that job that I had. God, I trust you if the worst happens to me, and I trust you if the best happens to me. I just trust you because I know you love me, and I know I'm going to be your bride one day. And I'm just here to listen to what you have to say, and I'm going to learn from you, and I'm going to try to shut off my own mind and just hear what you have to say. So, praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all these wonderful people who are here. Bless them. Bless them in mighty ways. Show them your love. Just pour out your love on them so they see it in a supernatural way, and they just feel it, which feelings are not important, but they feel it, and they're blessed by it, and they share it. They're so overwhelmed that they have to share it. They want to share it. They desire to share it. Keep them safe as they drive. Let all their conversations be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Monty, can you do the yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was. It was awesome. Amen. Amen. It's good. Yeah. Go for it. Amen. Woohoo! You guys have an awesome day. An awesome week. Awesome month. Just keep going.